Don't Jamie and Walker. I am Jamie-less, Nihilus is what I've been calling it this week. So you got me, and you got Tom Thayer, who won a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears back in 1985, currently the color commentator for WMVP for the Chicago Bears broadcast, number 57. Hard to believe, Tom, that this is only the third postseason meeting between these two rivals. This is one of the best rivalries in sports. How excited are you for Saturday?
You know, I'm super excited. It seems like we never coincide where we're both good at the same time. And this is something that's kind of been building since Ben Johnson came aboard and they knew the Green Bay Packers were still a good football team, but we didn't know it was going to work out in this fashion. So this is the third time they're playing in 6 weeks. And it's going to be amazing Saturday night at Soldier Field. When you consider that each of the first two games went down to the last play of the game, the Bears threw an interception, they threw a touchdown. Now let's see how number three works itself out.
You played for the Bears, and I'm curious about your history with this rivalry.
We never lost. You know, I came through the Ditka era when we were super successful, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, no matter how good or bad each team is, it's still one of the more emotional and physical games that you're going to play throughout the year but in each other's stadiums. But this one has got kind of a new title to it. You know, they were bad when I played here. They've been good throughout the Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers era. And so now that it's the Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur era with Caleb and Jordan Love, we'll see where this rivalry goes over the next, hopefully, 10 years.
How huge is home field advantage, Tom, for the Chicago Bears this coming Saturday?
Well, you know, I've been a part of 82 Chicago Bear Green Bay Packers games in each other's stadiums. And 3 or 4 weeks ago when we played in Lambeau, it was probably the first or second loudest I've ever heard the stadium in all my time there. It was unbelievable. Then a couple Saturdays ago in Soldier Field, when I was nervous about Bear fans selling their tickets late in the season to Green Bay fans, that didn't happen. And it was one of the loudest stadiums I've ever heard, the loudest times I've ever heard Soldier Field. So I'm actually thinking it's going to increase the fan support from Chicago this Saturday night because, you know, you make your way into the playoffs, you get a chance to buy your playoff tickets if you're a season ticket holder. You don't necessarily then want to sell them or, you know, sell them to Green Bay fans. So I think it's going to be a larger supportive crowd on behalf of Chicago this Saturday night. And I'm interested to see it, and I'm just hopeful that the Bear fans held on to their tickets.
So Caleb Williams, first playoff appearance. Is he ready, Tom?
He is ready. You know, and it's easy to say, but, you know, it's need to be seen. But I do think that the Ben Johnson has been getting these guys ready for this the whole time. You know, if Ben Johnson's introductory press conference, he says, look, this is not a rebuilding. This is a win now. And, you know, the different things, you know, no block, no rock, talking to the receivers, telling the running backs that he need to see them get the dirty yards. And then tell them, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think all these things that Ben said in the early stages of his hiring, they have come true. And even the development of the relationship between Ben Johnson and Caleb has been a building process. And I do think that, you know, Ben doesn't hold anything back. He puts a lot of responsibilities on the shoulders and the mind and the arm of Caleb Williams. And I think because of Caleb's experiences that he's already gone through in college, that he's ready, willing, and able to, you know, have a solid playoff performance. And it's definitely something that's not going to be too big for him.
We got Tom Thayer on the Green Zone. We're doing a preview of the Bears-Packers this Saturday, one of the wild card matchups. Can't wait. And, Tom, I'm very curious about your thoughts on Ben Johnson's impact on this team as a whole. A lot of people talk about his impact on Caleb Williams and the fact that he has figured out a way to unlock your young quarterback. But at the same time, do you think that this team is playing on Saturday without Ben Johnson?
I don't think so. And, you know, that's a great question by you because I really don't think so. And I said this a couple weeks, maybe a month ago. I said, for the 1985 team, which I was a part of, that we went and won on the Super Bowl, 15-1 record, Mike Ditka was the best head coach for that team, for that group of personalities. I think since Mike Ditka, Ben Johnson has been the best coach the Bears have had. And I don't think his impact is only felt on Caleb in the offense. It's felt inside the locker room. The determination of this football team, the coaching staff that he put together, their effect that they have on each and every position. So do I think they would be here if it wasn't for Ben Johnson? No, I don't. But I didn't know that going in. And as you see the season start rolling and we get a little bit more introduced to his personality, then you kind of get that feeling, wow, this guy is serious, man. He is a no-nonsense type of guy, and I think that we're seeing it from this team right now.
So we've talked about Caleb Williams. We've talked about Ben Johnson's impact on this Bears squad. I'm curious about other Bears' strengths. Like, what puts them, you know, above the Packers going into this matchup this weekend?
I think the play construction, the play calling of Ben Johnson's number one. Number two, I think it's the strength that the offensive line has built up since week one to week 18. There wasn't very many missed snaps. They had last week they had Theo Benedet, a Canadian, playing left tackle, but now we're going to have to see where if Ozzie Trapillo gets back. The offensive line's playing well. You know, they have a good group of tight ends. Colston Loveland, the first-round draft choice out of Michigan, from week nine to now, he's been the leading tight end receiver in the National Football League. They have a group of really good wide receivers. They had three rookies, Luther Burden out of Missouri, Colson Loveland out of Michigan, and Kyle Manungai out of Rutgers. They're all having a significant impact on the production of this offense for rookies, which is, I think, is unusual when you look at these late stages. But, you know, honestly, as many good things as I can say about the offense, I think this game is going to be determined about how the defense plays, because they have struggled a little bit in the last couple weeks. They've given up some yards and points. Green Bay is still a good offense, but we're going to have to see if the defense can come out and play a more physical brand of football at the line of scrimmage. It's going to increase their opportunities to win this game.
You sort of answered my next question. Do you have any concerns? And defense, I had a feeling you might bring that up. We'll move into the Packers with a bit of an edge as far as playoff experience goes. But is there a bit of a misconception that this Bears team is riding a youth movement right now? Because we took a look in the Green Zone Lounge earlier, Tom, just to sort of double check that. And they're actually the older squad. So where do you sit on that?
Well, you know, there's only 14 guys in the Bears locker room that have any playoff experience at all. And a lot of that experience is Joe Tooney, the left guard, who's been in the playoffs every year of his career. So there isn't a significant amount of experience. And I do think that, thankfully, Ben Johnson's got some recent playoff experience with the Detroit Lions, so he can kind of explain the importance of preparation this week. And, you know, so you're going to have to fill their heads with the importance of preparation, how the emotions and the physicality of the game and the play and playoffs is a lot different than it is during the regular season. But I do think there's no better guy for the job than Ben to get that message across and let it spill out from some of the veterans that do have experience. And yeah, Green Bay, they're a good football team. Josh Jacobs is a no-nonsense running back. Jordan Love, when he's healthy and on target, he's as good as anybody. Matt LaFleur is a good play caller. I think happily the defensive coordinator, he's creative, even though they lost Micah Parsons. And that was one of the struggles the Bears went through. And the last game they played is some creative defensive line of scrimmage setups that he had. So if Ben can devise a more effective, confident early game game plan, I do think that's the advantage that the Bears need, especially playing at home.
So a bit of snow, not a lot, but a bit of snow in the forecast. And knowing Chicago a bit, I know that could change. does a snow game favor the Bears, Tom?
No, You know, because look, man, these teams are separated by 4 hours by car.
Yeah.
And they both have similar weather patterns considering where they're
that's
located
a good point.
To the Great Lakes. But, you know, one thing that's great about the Soldier Field right now is they have the modernized heated field, natural grass. So it stays in perfect condition. So it's not like you're going to have something going, oh, my God, the field conditions are so awful. Everybody's sliding all over like in Tampa last week. This is going to be great field conditions, and that's not going to decide the fate of this game. It's going to be decided by the players.
So the wild card round this weekend is fascinating because you haven't really got a clear number one or, you know, two teams that are going to, you know, take it and run with it. And some intriguing matchups outside of the Packers and the Bears. Is there another wild card matchup this weekend that has your eye?
I guess the team that I'm most interested in is the Rams, because the Rams, they have a good head coach. They have a great experienced quarterback. They got one of the best defensive fronts in our division. I still have some question marks about a guy like Sam Darnold. But the Bears had a really good game against the Eagles when they played them on Black Friday. I don't know if that game plan is repeatable, but they went out there and they sure have confidence after that game. But to me, I think the Rams are the most interesting team to me in the NFC.
All right, Tom, somebody says, taps you on the shoulder and says, I need you to go down to the locker room, talk to the boys before the big game. What are you saying to them?
It's an obvious, you know, topic, because when you look at the oldest rivalry between two of the oldest franchises in the NFL, and no outcome is decided by the record they're going into the game with. It's about how you actually play the game in front of you. And if you're not willing to show up in the locker room Saturday night, get dressed and come out and play a brand of football that you haven't played yet this year in terms of mentally and physically, then stay in your car, let the next man up mentality that there's been on this football team, put their uniform on and go and play.
Tom, I really appreciate your time today, my friend. Thank you. There is Tom Thayer setting us up for Bears Packers on Saturday, NFL wildcard weekend. Bo Bichette has an interesting offer to stay in Toronto from a local business. We'll get to that next. I'll be honest, if this offer came my way, I'd be signing right now. Sign me up! This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. We're getting some good requests for our Green Zone Positivity Playlist. That's on it. Text us yours, 877-332-8255. This is Locker. Jamie is back next week. Bo Bichette still not signed in Toronto with the Blue Jays. A lot of conversation right now about whether or not that'll happen, especially with all of the off-season acquisitions that the Jays have been making. And is it a Tucker versus Bichette thing that's happening right now? We'll keep our fingers crossed. Does this push it over to the edge, though? Animal Steakhouse in downtown Toronto has offered Bo Bichette steak for life if he signs and stays in Toronto. I'm in! I know I can't play bait, but I'm in. Sign me up.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
It's the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's not here, but I do have Britton Gray, our Green Zone Riders reporter, joining me. We're going to break down the 2025 CFLPA club report cards. This dropped last year for the first time. It's something that they've been doing for a while in the NFL, but this is only the second year that we've been doing it. So a brief explanation as to what it is, Britton.
Yeah, it's a survey that the CFLPA and, well, the Players Association for every league is now starting to do this more. Send it out to your members. Just they can rate how the team facilities are. And the point of this is to share with other people kind of what teams are doing well, what they can improve on, and put it out there about what needs improvement. It's supposed to help teams or players, just coming to the CFL. Okay, here's a team that has this going for it.
Yeah.
This team could improve this. Just be aware this is happening. So interesting stuff. It's Now, of course, the CFL is a smaller league in the NFL, so there's not as many kind of funny gems that come out. But yeah, there's always a few that do end up coming out here.
Last year, I remember the cold pizza thing from Calgary, mm-hmm. right? There was a lot of conversation about food last year that was provided to the teams. Not as much conversation revolving around the food this year. The one sort of,
unless you're the BC Lions, apparently. Big old F grade for the BC Lions when it comes to nutrition.
Yeah, that's fair. But last year dominated it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this year it's a couple of things popped up. The funnier thing is Edmonton and visiting teams complained a lot about the facilities where they stay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of hotels that house the visiting teams, and not that we need to get into it, but it looks like for the most part they stay at the Chateau Lacombe downtown or the Westin.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily the Chateau Lacombe. Now, I reached out to some of my contacts in Edmonton to get that information first off, and then to find out whether or not those aren't the, you know, what kind of facilities they are.
Yeah.
And I guess the bigger complaint is the Chateau. And what I was also told, and this is purely speculation, there's we don't have any proof on this, but Chris Jones apparently made this change when he was running the Edmonton Elks. And it may have been done on purpose. It kind of tracks. It is a bit of a conspiracy theory that we have here. We have no proof, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I don't know how much credence there is to that, but I mean, hey, any opportunity you can get a leg up on the competition, I guess. But yeah, speaking of the Chateau Lacombe, as you mentioned, I put it out on Twitter. I had no idea what hotel it was, but apparently it's gotten some issue. Jeff Hamilton, of course, who covers the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, said it's the Chateau Lacombe, which is awful. That's what he replied. So apparently, That's one of the biggest issues players had this year. But of course, you still have some guys that disappointed in the food and everything.
Yeah.
The F for the Montreal Alouettes in terms of treatment of families, that's interesting. Where one of the comments does mention out in Montreal, there's essentially no game day family support, non-existent, and needs improvement there.
And they're the only F out of everybody of all the teams.
Except for BC's F in nutrition, which...
Yeah, no, I mean in treatment of families. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Coaching staff, Saskatchewan did well. We got an A- from the players. Football operations, A-. We got ownership and business operations. We got a B. Facility and equipment, B from the Riders, players, therapy and medical staff, a B. Another A- for strength and conditioning. A B- for nutrition and diet. I think football players are picky about food.
they like to have some food after their games. And there's been, like, a lot of the comments have been, it's cold. Some places they said that they have to pay for their food while still out there. So,
oh, really? Okay. I thought that was a thing of the past, but
I think Edmonton, I can just look it up here. Yes, Edmonton, food before and after practice was the best it's been in years, but you have to pay for it.
Oh, wow. Okay, the Rough Riders got an A for team travel, and they got an A- for training camp. And then the one sort of blemish on the report card for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and we know this organization quite well, and they take this stuff seriously. So they'll probably focus on this moving forward. I can see I can see Jeremy O'Day and Craig Reynolds taking a look at this and, you know, going through the comments and going, you know what, okay, we need to do a better job of treatment of families. They got a C on their report card. Now,
I was shocked by that C, I will say, because with Corey Mason, that, like, family seems like such a big thing to them. Obviously, I don't know what the grades were, but I was a little shocked that was the lowest. Of course, last year it was the nutrition that got a D there. But yeah, I was a little shocked that the C from family, just being around the team, seeing how family oriented they are, that it was that kind of low.
I'm curious if that has something to do with, and again, this is pure speculation, but I'm curious if that has something to do with the players' families getting access to tickets and things like that, maybe, right?
Who knows? There's 78 questions players answer in this survey, so it's probably a lot of things that they take into account, but
again, that's me just sort of reaching a little bit to sort of get, you know, now we did this last year. And we sent Jamie a quick little. He's off, and he didn't get back to us right away, but he did get back to us, and we're gonna figure this out. We did a breakdown of all of the report card grades, and then assigned a numerical value to the grades, and then worked out who finished at the top. And I'll just go to what we had last year, Britton. The results from last year, if we take a look at that. Hang on here. I'm sorry. I just lost it. There we go. Okay. So Hamilton finished at the top with a B average, and then Saskatchewan just slightly behind Hamilton, Ottawa, then Winnipeg, then Toronto, then Montreal, then Calgary, then BC, then Edmonton at the bottom. I don't think we're going to see much of a adjustment on that, but I do think we'll see Saskatchewan finish at the top this year.
They're up there. It's that Hamilton has really good grades across the board. Winnipeg, for the most part.
Montreal did okay.
Hamilton is kind of really up there, too. So yeah, Saskatchewan, Hamilton seems like, in terms of when you're looking at the grades, they're the only two without that dreaded red grade there.
Yeah, Saskatchewan has more A's, but we got that one C, so that might drag down the overall score for Saskatchewan. But, yeah, comparatively speaking, just to sort of grade out the difference between the organizations, it still does look like, though, that Edmonton and BC are going to be at the bottom of the pack again this year. But there was improvements, right? And we did the top-line conversation earlier in the show, which was just basically, great improvements in nutrition, coaching, family events, strength training, and other areas for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Strength and conditioning staff really leveled up was another one of the comments. I'm just taking a look at the top line stuff for the Rough Riders, and then issues with community appearance money from multiple players. So how they are paid when they go out and do things in the community was something that they're going to have to obviously address from a organization perspective as well.
Yeah, we're looking at this on really a surface level. As I said, there it's a 78 question survey they fill out. Who knows exactly where the complaints come in that we get. Three comments that we get to kind of look at as media, anonymous comments. So a lot goes into it. It's just very interesting because when we think of pro sports teams, you would expect that everything's just A++, but not the case as we find out.
Yeah. Again, Saskatchewan did really, really well. Mm-hmm. And again, I think some of the issues that they had last year, they addressed, and they've even done better again this year. It is interesting because the NFL one is fun to read. Because you got a number of teams, you've got a lot of money, and you got guys that get paid a lot of money, and they probably have, I want to put this nicely. They probably have higher expectations from the NFL franchises just based on what those franchises make. Mm-hmm. So if there are any issues, they're going to hear about it from the players, right? Yeah. And the NFL apparently, they're not happy about these report cards, and they've been doing it for a lot longer than the CFL has.
Yeah, the NFL, I believe the report is looking at trying to get these put to an end. Just they don't like publicly having players criticize them. And yes, it's anonymous, but they don't like it put out there that this is happening behind the scenes. I mean, it's the machine that keeps on going. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
They like to keep the pretty image, right? Everything's spotless. Meanwhile, the report card comes out and you find out some teams, even though they're worth billions, are charging players for daycare still.
Yeah.
Right?
I will say this, though, that from a perspective of evaluating what you're doing as a franchise or an organization, if you look at it from that perspective, I think you should be valuing this input, no?
I mean, you would think so, but we know how corporations, big businesses, they like to do things their way, and they don't like to be told they're doing things wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair. That's fair. So we'll take another look at this, and if anything else pops up, we'll make sure we get it out there. The only other thing that I wanted to touch on with you is the news that came down late yesterday regarding Dante Meyers.
Mm-hmm.
the possibility that he is not going to be around next season for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, the reports are he is signing with the Cincinnati Bengals of the NFL. Good for him. Like a guy who came into training camp, worked his tail off, has one of the best catch radiuses I've ever seen of a wide receiver up here. You throw the ball in his direction, he finds a way to contort his body and get it. Good to see guys like that rewarded after the season he had. All the best of luck to him. Of course, now the Riders have to fill that spot. They have a lot of receiver talent, though. American receivers, every year they bring in four or five of them. You see who sticks. Dante Myers is one of those guys. They re-signed Mariner, who joined the team here late in the season on the practice roster. I believe this opens up the door for more Keyshawn Johnson. He's a guy who's out there
100%.
To come back. Jeremy O'Day has proven he's able to fill the holes. Congratulations, Dante Myers. Hope for the best for him. But now it's up to Jeremy O'Day to fill that hole. Eight touchdowns led the team with that. Of course, other players had a bunch of injuries, but a great season for him.
Yeah, I think that is worth highlighting, that if you're looking at a position where if you're going to lose a guy or two from the lineup, the wide receiver position is probably the one that makes the most sense for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, just based on the overall depth.
Well, and the Canadian talent they have there, it'd be tough to lose if you lose a bunch of Canadian receivers.
Yeah.
We talked about running backs, American wide receivers. There's a bunch that don't get drafted and come up here. It's about finding that diamond in the rough, finding the next Keyshawn Johnson, finding the next Dante Myers. And that I imagine it'll be a battle at training camp for that spot.
Now, who's the next name you think that we're going to hear as far as locking him up as this offseason progresses here?
I still think A.J. Allen. Yeah. I think A.J. Allen, it's going to be interesting. The Micah Johnson retirement, as I mentioned, opens up a little bit more pocketbook money based on what he was probably making. You can now pay that a little bit more somewhere. I would try to bring A.J. Allen back. He's a ratio breaker on the defense. Great linebacker. A great interview. Selfishly would like him to stick around for that. But
Losing Micah, right?
Yeah.
I know just based on the Green Zone Lounge conversations that he's still available as a coach, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys can still put a mic in front of him as a coach.
Yeah, just can't go to him after a game, provide that insight after a loss. Like I said, he was really good at being able to provide that insight after a loss. A lot of guys can do it when they're winning.
Yeah.
It's when they lose a game, who can you really get go to and really put things in perspective.
There is Britton Gray, our Green Zone Riders reporter. He'll keep an eye on any developing stories as far as the Saskatchewan Roughriders go. And Olet, come on. What's going on? Let's get it done.
We'll have to wait and see. I don't know what's going on in Jeremy O'Day's office. We'll see where the contracts are going.
All right. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. Keep my head held high. There's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. There we go. The Green Zone. The Climb. That's on our Green Zone positivity playlist. 877-332-8255 if you want to add a tune. Coming up, we're going to be chatting with John Shannon, and he had an interesting conversation with Millard on his 100% Hockey podcast the other day, and we're going to talk about it when he's coming up. Who's on your all-Shoresy NHL hockey team?
The kids don't want it. They don't skate. They don't score. They don't hit. They don't fight. They float.
They don't love to win.
They don't hate to lose.
Here's the thing. I do need some clarification. If we're building the list, does it have to involve players from the current NHL roster? Or can you look past, go grab a Bobby Clark? Who wouldn't want a Bobby Clark in an all-Shoresy team? So send us yours, 877-332-8255. Who's on your all-Shoresy hockey team? All right?